And so today, this morning, you guys, we continue in our preaching series, Raise Your Praise. Raise Your Praise. I know that Thanksgiving Day is upon us. It's a day where some people now refer to it as Turkey Day. I don't know about you, but I don't give homage to a turkey. A turkey has done nothing more for me than fill my belly. That if the turkey is the guest of honor at your Thanksgiving Day celebration, then all you're going to do is digest your guest. That's what a turkey is about good for. But how many of you know that we have a God that we really give thanksgiving to? It is not just one day of the year, but every day is a day of, somebody ought to say amen to that. Every day is a day of thanksgiving. But I found out something in life, that if we're not careful, that we can allow the struggles of life, the ups and downs of life, the daily demands that we deal with, to put a delete on our praise. That listen, sometimes I realize it can be difficult to give what I call a sacrifice, what the word calls a sacrifice of praise to God. That sometimes life is heavy, sometimes it's hard. But here's another thing that I know, that as a child of God, we must realize that beyond whatever we deal with in this world, whatever we deal with in this life, God is still worthy of our praise. Hallelujah, somebody. Hallelujah, anyhow. And so the purpose of this preaching series is really to remind us of the importance of praise to God. Always be ready to raise your praise to God Almighty. Raise your expectation of praise. Raise your level of praise. You might be quiet most of the time, but can you holler every once in a while? Can you holler for the Lord? Can you say thank you, Jesus? Can you lift up your hands? God is worthy of our praise. And so last week we looked at Psalm 150. And Psalm 150 is the closing hymn of the books, the five books of the Psalms. It's a closing book, but it's a fitting close. Because Psalm 50 is all about an invitation for all of creation to give praise to God. That the mighty oak trees, as they stretch forth their branches, it's a praise to God, because an oak tree does what an oak tree does. The fish that swim in the sea, the mighty sharks and the whales that when they leap from the water, it's like a praise to God because they're doing what God called them to do. I said last week that the praise isn't a dog's bow wow, it's in the cat's meow, because that's what God called them to do. But we are God's crowning creation. That his glory resides on the inside of us. And since we are his crowning creation, if anybody ought to praise God, it ought to be the people of God. Amen. Somebody in the house today, can you raise your praise to God just one time? God is worthy of our praise.
Thank you, Lord.
It was the Christian author and pastor Craig Rochelle that once said, if God has done what you think he should do, trust him. If God doesn't do what you think he should do, trust him. If you pray and ask God for a miracle and by chance he performs a miracle in your life, listen, you ought to trust him. But listen to this. If your worst nightmare comes true, believe that God is still sovereign. Believe that God is still worthy to be trusted. Believe that God is good and trust him. And can I add to that? Praise him. I found out something. That praise does not always cost us something. You know how we give praise to a dog when a dog goes to fetch a ball and brings it back? Nice doggy. You know how it is when our children come home and they colored a picture for us at school. It's got a little gold star on it. And we say, great picture, great. And we might hang it on the refrigerator. So sometimes we can praise God from this same motivation. Because God has blessed us. Because he's helped us, he's protected us. That we feel generous towards God because we can see what God has done. So we'll sing, we'll worship y'all, we'll dance before God. And all of this is good. It's good praise. It's worthwhile. But this kind of praise, y'all, It really costs us little to nothing. But then the times, y'all, when God didn't come through, not the way that you hoped he would. There are times when the medical tests come back, they come back positive. Times when the spouse will say, I want a divorce, and they'll walk out the door. There are times when a child will be rebellious and they act like they've lost their minds. There are times when the rent is due, the mortgage is due, and you find out you don't have enough money to pay it. There are times when you may experience a job loss. There are times when our loved ones leave us suddenly. In those moments, y'all, I don't know about you, but sometimes I felt like God was so far away, that God was not listening, that God was not answering my prayer. It was as if God had forgotten about me. To praise God in those times requires a personal sacrifice. It requires an act of the will. That regardless of what you're dealing with, regardless of what you're going through, you're determined to praise God. And to know that you are not alone. I believe that King David, if he was here today, David would say, man, listen, I can feel you. I know what it feels like to feel like God is far away. It's as if God is not there. But I think David can help us today in moments like this. So please turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3. And I read these verses. I will praise the Lord at all times. I will constantly speak his praises. I will boast only in the Lord. Let all who are helpless take heart. Come, let us tell of the Lord's greatness. Let us exalt his name together. Perhaps some of you know it better like this. I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. My soul shall make her boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear thereof and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. This morning, I want to encourage our hearts from the thought, praise from a hard place. Praise from a hard place. If you'll notice the inscription in this psalm, it's titled A Psalm of David when he pretended to be insane in front of Abimelech, who sent him away. So things were probably not going for David as he expected. When David was just a young boy, a prophet by the name of Samuel stopped by the house to see his daddy Jesse, because God had called the prophet to go to the house to anoint the next king of Israel. King Saul was the current king at the time. But King Saul disobeyed God, and God rejected him and was ready to remove him from his position. So God had another man. He had another man that would stand in this place. Listen, none of us are so high and so holy and so gifted that God cannot move you and put somebody else in your place. Do you hear me this morning? It's only by the grace and the power of God that he uses us the way that he uses us. So the prophet goes to the house and he causes all of Jesse's sons, seven of them, to parade before them. But none of them were God's choice. And Samuel said, you got another boy anywhere? Yeah, there's one out there. He's keeping the sheep. I got him out there. But why did it not even think about David? And so David was brought before the prophet, and he said, that's the one. that's the one that I am to anoint. And he anointed him that day, but he had yet to be, Minister Jen, appointed to his position. Saul was upset. The Bible says that an evil spirit came upon him. And so David comes to the palace to play music. That David was a musician. And so he played music to soothe his madness. He was demented. But Saul only favored David for so long. After a while, they went out to war. And the young fine women, they were looking at David. And the report went out, listen, that King Saul killed his thousands, but David killed his tens of thousands. Well, Saul didn't like that. In his evil, demented ways, he wanted to kill David. I'm giving you the backstory of this text this morning. And so David is on the run for his life. David had to seek refuge amongst the Philistines. Now remember, this is the same David that killed the giant warrior named Goliath, Philistine. Remember that the report was out that David killed tens of thousands. Guess who were in those tens of thousands? Some of the Philistines. And so David goes before Abimelech, this Philistine king, and the people recognize him. That's the one that's been killing our folk. That's David. David had some sense, y'all. David was afraid. And so what does he do? That he acts as if he's demented. He acts as if he's insane, y'all. He's a madman. David begins to scratch on the door, y'all. That saliva runs down his beard. And the king said, "This is the one y'all talking about? No, he's insane. He needs to be in a straitjacket. Get him out of here." So David departed. And David found himself at a cave at Adullam. There in the dark cave, it was damp. This cave was a solid place. Hard walls and a hard floor. But David was also under hard and difficult circumstances. The David was running for his life, y'all, but David, did he murmur? Did he complain? With a heart that's open to God and a broken spirit, he writes and he whispers, "I will bless the Lord." At all times, I'm on the run. I'm supposed to be the next king, but I'll bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. How can you praise a good God at bad times? What would be in your mouth at a moment like this? What's in your mouth when you're going through some difficult and hard circumstances in your life? Let me ask you, what's in your mouth when people cut you off on the highway? Can I ask you, husbands and wives, don't look around. Look straight at me. Don't look around. But in the heat of the moment, when you're having one of those sure enough blow-ups, one of those sure enough arguments, what's in your mouth? When your coworker on the job is getting on your last nerve, your boss is getting on your last nerve, what are you murmuring and whispering under your breath? What's in your mouth? Are they words of pain? Are they words of panic? Are they words of self-pity? Are they words of profanity? Or are they words of praise? Like David, how can we learn to praise God from a hard place? When we're in the middle of some difficult and hard circumstances, how do we still lift up our hands, sister, open up our mouths and begin to praise God? Well, I believe these introductory verses to Psalm 34 apply to us. And they can help us today. But the first application I think we can make from these short verses is this. Understand that your praise requires commitment. Come on, everybody, commitment. Your praise requires commitment. I will praise the Lord at all times. Notice that David emphatically says, "I will." It's an act of the will. I will bless the Lord. I will praise the Lord. The Hebrew word for praise here first is barak. It means to kneel down. It means to bow down before. As you're bowing before everything that's hurting you and breaking you, as you're bowing, can you bow before God Almighty? Can you barak God? Can you bow before him? David bowed down. Abraham bowed before God. Moses bowed before God. Do we still know how to bow before God today? Do we come into the house of God pompous and arrogant with our minds on everything else other than praise, other than Barak, bowing before God, our hearts bowing before God? Even the elders and the four living creatures in Revelation chapter 7, guess what they did? They fell down on their faces and they worshiped God on his throne. I want you to get this. Listen, hands lifted in praise should be motivated by a heart that bows in worship. Let me say that again. Hands lifted in praise should and must be motivated by a heart that bows in worship. David was committed to praising God at a bad time in his life. He was supposed to be the next king of Israel, and here he is running for his life. Most of us, y'all probably would have been depressed, frustrated, and mad, and whining, and complaining. But David praises God. David's praise is costly. So the Hebrew writer, Hebrew 13 and 15 says this, by him, meaning Jesus. Therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise. Let us offer the sacrifice of praise continually. This is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. Did you come in here with some fruit on your lips this morning? Did you come this morning with sweet lips of praise, sweet praise to give the Lord this morning? What did you come to do? Did you come with a sacrifice of praise? Not only lips that praise God, but a life and a lifestyle that gives praise to God. I say this again. You have to know it's not enough for you to open up your mouth and praise God. That your life has to be a praise song before God. The way you live your life. That we can't come in here and lift up our hands and shout to God, talk about how good God is, but we live like a Christian atheist. You know what a Christian atheist is? That's a person that professes God. They say they know God, but they live as if they don't know God at all. That our lips and our lifestyle has to line up before God. A sacrificial praise requires an act of the will. It requires commitment. It costs us humility. It means getting out of the way of self. Stop your pity party and give praise to God. This is an act of the will. The power of the will, y'all, is a strong thing. That there are people that have been at death's door, and I say this, and I think about my own mother when her body was filled with cancer. Had a conversation with the doctor. She was in the room. The doctor, we were the only ones there, and he said, "Man, listen, your mother is she's a strong woman. That we've done a recent examination in her back, that she's filled with cancer." But your mother's still strong. She's still holding on. She's strong. You know what I believe it was? It was an act of her will. That she still wanted to see all of her children before she left this world and before she took her last breath, that she held on. That's will power, y'all. But do we have the kind of will that says, "I will praise the Lord"? Whether you're dealing with rejection in your life, can you say, "I will"? Heartache, "I will"? Pain, "I will"? Loss, "I will"? Grief, "I will"? Disappointment, "I will bless the Lord"? "I will praise the Lord"? God is still good to us, y'all.
Amen, amen, amen.
Praise requires commitment to a God that's committed to us. Anybody glad about that? Do you know God is committed to you and to me? Praise requires commitment to a God who's committed to us. How do you know? Look at some of the verses in Psalm 34, verse 4. I prayed and God answered. Y'all just sung that. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he answered. I sought God, he heard me and he answered. God is committed to us, y'all. Verse 5, I look for help and I receive joy. God is committed to us. He surrounds us and defends us. God is committed to us. Those who fear him will have all they need. Verse 10, God is committed to us. Those who trust in the Lord have no lack. He provides for us. God is committed to us. We praise a God at good times because God is committed to us. I sought the Lord and he heard me and he answered. So we praise God at good times because God is committed to us. So our praise ought to be committed to him. So if we're to praise this good God at bad times, how else can this text help us? I'm glad you want to know. Second thing, know to practice your praise as something commonplace. Something common, something that's ordinary again. David said, I will praise the Lord at all times. David was saying, at any point in time, I will praise God. Whether bad times or good times, mountain, valley, up or down, I will praise the Lord. I will constantly speak his praises. Look at that in the text. So the Hebrew word for praise now shifts. Now it's Tehillah. Tehillah, y'all, it's a praise song. It's spontaneous instruction to break forth in celebration with songs, with shouts, and with holy noise. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, Living Faith Community Church. Tehillah. One of the first times we find the word Tehillah in the Bible is right after God delivered the Hebrews from Egypt. Moses and the children of Israel, that they arrived safely across the Red Sea. In Exodus chapter 15, their eyes behold what only God could do in their lives. That the waters of the Red Sea begin to collapse on their enemies. I just imagine, I put my video on in my mind and I watch them. They stand on the other side. The enemy's chasing. And all of a sudden, the Red Sea begins to crush down on their enemy. I see them standing there, scratching their heads and wondering what in the world just happened. Can we believe our eyes? Their mouths open agape. Them staring at that God had just defeated their Egyptian enemies.
Yeah, yeah.
I can hear them one by one. What a mighty God we serve. Look what the Lord has done. Then another one over here begins to shout, he's the God of our salvation. He's the God that delivers us. And Miriam and the ladies, they pick up the tambourines and they just begin to dance and they begin to praise God. Tehillah. I wonder what would happen in the house of God today if we had some Tehillah in the house today. If we would open up and spontaneous praise, open up our mouth, make shouts unto God for all that God has done for us. One by one, we lift up our voices in praise to God in thankfulness and laughter for all that God has done for us, that God has set us free. I believe this. The redeemed of the Lord ought to say so. If God saved you, if you know that you're blood washed, if you know that you're born by his Spirit, you ought to praise God. Our boast. That word comes back from the root of praise, halal. It means to eulogize. I will boast. I will speak well of God and all that he's done in my life. Right. That if you are the redeemed of, you ought to boast in God. You ought to have something good and great to say about God. How often? Continuously. Yeah, that it ought to be commonplace. Psalm 22, y'all. Psalm 22, it's a prophetic psalm. That it's a psalm of David, but it's a song, it's a prophetic word about and from Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. You look at Psalm 22 and it says how Jesus laid down his life for us, that he was rejected, that he was abandoned. But listen, Psalm 22 and 3, I love that verse. This is where prophetically David speaks, the Messiah speaks. He says, but thou art holy, O thou that inhabits the praises of Israel. When the Messiah, when David and the Messiah, when they declare God inhabits the praises of his people, he expresses absolute trust in God. Listen, where there is praise and true and honest and open praise, that's where God is. Psalm 22 and 3 talks about the enthronement of God, that God sits high, he looks low, and God comes low. In whatever situation you're dealing with, when you open your mouth, when you think about the goodness of God, God is there. That God inhabits the praises of his people. That when we come to church and we lift our hands and we dance and we shout, God is here.
That's right.
Our sacrifice of praise should be normative. I said it should be commonplace. That means that verbal praise should be common. It should be normal, y'all. It should be a regular practice. It shouldn't be some special thing, y'all. That you know how it is when there's a special occasion, and we pull out the special dishes at home, don't we? Thanksgiving or Christmas, you know the good stuff. You know, we pull out the good, you know, the nice shiny gold, you know, silver spoons and forks and all of that stuff. Because it's a special occasion. Can I say something to you? Every time that we come together as God's people, it's always a special occasion. And all of us ought to be able to pull out our best praise and give it to God. Every day of your life that you wake up and you have breath in your body, it's a special occasion, y'all. And God is worthy of our praise. Today, right now, in this moment, it's a special occasion, y'all. God is worthy to be praised. Good times or bad, He's still worthy. This last thing, y'all, and I'm through because we have to do some baptisms. Praise God for that. I see we were going to be here a little bit longer, y'all. So the chicken can wait. It can. What other application can we make of this? So how do we praise God from a hard place? How do we praise this good God in the bad times in our lives? Verse 3 kind of sums it up. In a bad situation, David was committed to praise, and he saw praise as something commonplace. But David recognizes that his praise should be something that's contagious as well. That he's to praise God at all times, constantly. David boasts, not in himself, but David boasts in the Lord and all that the Lord had done for him. What has the Lord done for you? Our praise, y'all, though, is not just for us. Notice the shift in the tense in the verse. David says in 1 and 2, I will. He says in 2, let all. All who are helpless, all who are hopeless, take heart. So how is it that they're going to take heart? Because everybody's looking at David. That David is blessing the name of the Lord. His situation is hard. His circumstance were hard, but David is praising God. That David's praise, y'all, it becomes contagious. Your praise is not just for you. Again, notice the plural. Let us come together. Let we. We engage in corporate worship and praise. We come to boast in the Lord. We come to exalt His name. We come to lift up holy hands. We come to shout unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Remember that all about God's name. His nature is synonymous with all that He does.
That's right.
We say that He is good. He does good.
Come on.
We say that He is righteous. He does righteously.
That's right.
And we come together, church, as the house of God and as the people of God, to lift up God no matter what we're dealing with. The whole of Psalm 34 is David's. It's his personal testimony, but it's also his personal teaching on praise. When you go down through verse 11 and on, it says, fear the Lord. Keep tongue and evil lips from lies. That our tongue ought to be filled with praise. Our mouths ought to be filled with praise. God watches over those who do right. That God is close to the brokenhearted and the crushed in spirit. I wonder what might happen today. If a person is coming to the house of God and they're weak and they're worn because it's been a bad week.
Come on.
It's been a hard week.
Yeah, yeah.
But the person right next to them, they come into the house of God. They sit down right next to them. And equally, they've had a hard week. It's been a bad week. But their hearts are on fire for the Lord. And their mouths are filled with praise. I just believe if you sit next to somebody like that, their praise becomes contagious. Listen, I come into the house of God sometimes, y'all, head hung down, but somebody begin to dance. Somebody begin to shout. Somebody begin to open up their mouth. And before long, I jump to my feet. I begin to leap for joy. Praise can be contagious.
Amen, amen. That's right.
So let your praise be contagious. A cold is contagious. The flu is contagious. The Rona is contagious. But nothing should be more contagious than our praise to God. So imagine, y'all, what it would be like if the next time, and every time we find ourselves, anytime we find ourselves in a bad place, praise becomes our default go-to place. Because I know that life gets hard. It gets real hard. But at what point do we, as we're going into the dive of depression and pain and suffering and hurt, at what point do we pull out and we begin to move up and lift up our hands and praise? So here is your assignment. Here's your assignment for the week. Can we all do this every day this week? that when we wake up in the morning, can we be determined to practice Psalm 34, verses 1 through 3? Can we make this psalm our personal praise, our personal testimony, and our personal teaching to our household and those around us that God is good regardless of what I'm dealing with and what I'm going through? I know it's a challenge because we all have bad times, but God is still good. There's this one verse. I'm almost done, y'all. This one verse. Yeah, we're going to go late, y'all. We're going to be all right, though. Y'all not going to starve. This one verse that gets me every time. It's in verse 8. This is a verse that can help us, y'all, in our bad times. It says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Oh, the joys of those who take refuge in him. David had an experience with God like never before. That God blew his mind. That David had an experience with God that was beyond his expectations. It kept him coming back to God time and time and time ago. Good times and bad. He kept coming back to God. God was greater than David's circumstances. God is greater than your circumstance and mine.
That's right.
Even through the fiercest of enemies that we face. Have you ever noticed that one taste can keep you coming back? You know, it's been said, I've never tried it, and I never will. They say that one hit, one try, one snort of cocaine can addict you for a lifetime. I don't know. I'll never try it. I did. Don't try it. But one hit can addict you for a lifetime. Cocaine ain't my thing. Brother Alan Jones, I know he's not in the house today. Brother Alan's not here today. But listen, Brother Alan and I worked on the base together at one time. And every Thursday, y'all, we would go to the club on the base because that was the day they had soul food at the club. Y'all, they had this chicken. They had this chicken that was out of this world. Brother Alan and I came to know that day as Crack Chicken Day. That it was Crack Chicken Day, y'all. It didn't matter whether it was raining outside or sunshine. Every Thursday, Kevin Love was there at the club in line with his tray in hand with the little tweezer thing, getting him some of that crack chicken. That golden fried chicken, y'all, that left that grease around your lips, y'all, it was good stuff. I was hooked on it, y'all. Every Thursday, I was at the club getting me some of that crack chicken. Y'all laughing at me. But let me ask you, what's your crack? For some of y'all, it's Whataburger. For some of y'all, it's Chick-fil-A. For some of y'all, it's probably Krispy Kreme. I don't know, for some of y'all, maybe some of those crumble cookies with all that butter and stuff in it. I'm getting hungry right now. We got to hurry up, y'all. But before I end today, I wonder if we have any cracked out Christians in the house today. That you're addicted to Jesus. You're addicted to praise. You're addicted to lift up your hand. I came here today because I'm addicted to the Lord. I can't help but praising him. I can't help lifting my hand, shouting hallelujah, thanking God for saving my life. How many addicted folk we have in the house today? I'm addicted to Jesus, y'all. I'm hooked on Jesus, y'all. I'm hooked on the Lord. I thank him for his mercy. I thank him for his grace. I thank him for his goodness. I'm hooked on the Lord today and his goodness towards me. I'm hooked on praise. I'm hooked on a hallelujah. I'm hooked on a barak. Kneeling before God. I'm hooked on a tehillah. I have a song in my heart to give to the Lord. Today I bow down and I worship him. Every head closed. Every head bowed. Every eye closed. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Lord, today we enter into your gates with thanksgiving in our hearts, into your courts with praise. And we're thankful to you and we bless your holy name. Father, we praise you because you commanded. But we praise you more so because you deserve it. That we realize just how good you have been to us. The prophet Isaiah said it best, that He was wounded for our transgressions, bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. It is by his stripes that we are healed, that we're brought into a right relationship with you, Father. So today we thank you for Jesus. But we realize even in this moment that perhaps there's someone under the sound of my voice that does not know Jesus in the pardon of their sins. Your word says that if we would but confess Jesus, believe in our heart that you raised him from the dead, that we will be saved. And Father, all of the singing, all of the praising, the worship, the preaching comes up to this moment. It's your will, Father, that people would be saved. That you love them, you love us with an everlasting love. And in this moment, we pray that by the power of your Holy Spirit, that you would draw them. That you would draw someone who's coming to know Jesus for the very first time. And to know your word clearly, that Father, you so loved the world that you gave your only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting, everlasting life. God, so we pray for them. We pray for that person that may not be connected to a local fellowship anywhere. That Holy Spirit move on their hearts to let them know that Living Faith Community Church is a good place to be. We're not a perfect church. You are a perfect God. And we serve you with our whole hearts. So speak to that person, Lord God, that may be saved, but they're not connected to a local fellowship anywhere, a place where they can pray with other believers, fellowship with other believers, be held accountable to one another. Draw them by your Spirit. Holy Ghost, do what only you can. We trust you. We believe you. This is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
You have just heard Pastor Kevin Love of Living Faith Community Church, located at 1715 Grandstand Drive in San Antonio, Texas. You're welcome to join us for worship service on Sundays at 9 a.m. and for Wednesday night Bible study at 7 p.m. Living Faith Community Church, connecting real life to a real faith.